Okay, so to summarize where we were, so the Gemara on Tanach Daled Amud Beis tells us that if someone borrows money, so he's the lender is not allowed to live for free in the property of the borrower, because it's assumed to be either ribis derabanan, ribis deraisa, as the Gemara notes, depending on whether it's a case where they stipulated it in advance, in which case it would be ribis deraisa, or if he didn't stipulate it, in which case it would be ribis derabanan. So the first question we're dealing with in that sugya is the broader question that emerges both from this sugya and the sugya in Dafayin Hay, one of the last sugyas in the Perek, is the question of ribis devarim, where the Gemara had said, the Mishnah actually had said, that you can't indicate to someone when someone's coming, you can't greet somebody who you didn't greet before just because he lent you money. And this leads the Rishonim to really try to figure out the question of what is the parameters, what types of things are prohibited, and what types of things are not prohibited for a borrower to let a lender benefit from him during a period of a loan. So we were in the middle of number 8, where we'd seen the first position of Tosos, right? Because Tosos asked basically the rhetorical question, right? When you put these two sugyas together, is the picture we're supposed to get that once someone has borrowed money, he can never, in any way, shape, or form, allow his lender to benefit from him ever? He can't say hello, he can't greet him, he can't say thank you, he can't do anything. Is that really true? So the first answer in Tosos is no. So Tosus has 2 points. He says, in order for something to be prohibited, it needs one, we'll start with the second point first. One is it has to be something that you wouldn't have done for him before, right? That's obvious, right? If this is someone I say, that's explicit in the Gemara on Ayin Hay, right? That if there's somebody that I greet every morning and he lends me money, I can still greet him every morning because there's no way to think about the fact that I'm greeting him in the morning just because he lent me money. I did this before he lent me money, I'll do it after the money's paid back. So that's point one. Point two is that that's not enough, because even if it's something that you would have done anyways, if it's bifarhesya, if it's something that's very well known and very public, so then you aren't allowed to let him benefit, even if you would have done it before, because people won't understand that the reason you're letting him do this, to benefit from you in this extreme way is because you're really, really good friends. So in a modern example, what I would assume, just take the example of the Gemara, right? Even if we're really close friends and we always swap our timeshares, if I borrow, $50,000 from him, I can't now let him live in my timeshare for free, because even though I always let him live in my timeshare, we always swap timeshares, it doesn't matter. Right? The fact that it's something that is bifarhesya, the fact that it's something that is very public, means that it's usher, even if I would have done it before. That's answer one in Tosfos. Answer two, and this is what we're up to, we only got that far. The od yesh lamar, didafka lodur shlomi das chavero usher bichol inyan, maybe it's only usher if you do it without permission. Even if it's something that wouldn't normally be rented, even if you're not someone who doesn't rent, the chevin shel rishus oseh, since you do it without permission, nira dal hamal v'somech shebishvilo yisbilu habaylim. So Tosos' second possibility is no. Anything you would have done, that you would have done before, so that's going to be, so anything you would have done before, so Midaito is fine, right? Meaning if we always swapped timeshares, even without asking permission, like I had a key to his apartment and I knew as long as he wasn't around, he didn't care, even though it's something I could rent out, but we never asked permission, right? Whenever I'm passing through that part of whatever, Florida, I have a key and I could go in without asking. So then, as long as I did it before, and it's midaito, so it's fine. Even if it's public, it doesn't matter. The only thing that's usur is when I do something without asking permission on the assumption that he won't stop me because I'm his creditor, right? But anything that's not like that, that's fine, right? So the case here, it's not the question of, right, so answer one, assume that there's a fundamental problem with public things, even if it's something I would have done before. Answer two is no. If it's something I would have done anyway, it doesn't matter how public it is. The only thing I can't do is either something that I didn't do before, that's obviously usur, but something that I theoretically would have done before, I can't, but, you know, I would have at least asked permission, right? I can't now do it without permission and assume I don't need permission because he owes me one.
Is that supposed to sit with the Gemara and some pay?
Some dollar meaning what?
The Gemara and some dollar bet? Is that supposed to be an explanation of the Mavus of Erev Loyadu B'chatzirafina?
Yes.
But the Gemara, I mean, the Gemara includes all kinds of cases which are extensions of this, but the one of Avadim was pretty clear that.
Correct.
Full knowledge of the other person is still considered to be a problem.
Right, but that's something he wouldn't have done before. Right, that's the assumption that Tosfos is assuming. Right, anything I wouldn't have done before is also automatically. Anything I would have done before, but I would have asked permission for, okay. I can't now do without permission.
Okay.
Right. So what's the nafkamina? I mean, again, so according to answer one, anything in public I can't do, even if I would have done it before. Answer two says no. Lending someone money can never prevent me from doing that which I would have done anyways. It just prevents me from either doing something I wouldn't have done before or doing something I would have done before with permission and now doing without permission, because then what I'm doing is I'm banking on the fact that he owes me one to right? The common denominator in both of those things, according to the second answer of Tosfos, is I can't do anything. I mean, I can't benefit from, the lender can't benefit from the fact that he lent him money. That means either benefiting in a way he wouldn't have before or lifting the requirement to ask permission. Because in both cases, he's gaining from the fact that he's a creditor, and that is what's usur. But in that answer, again, to reiterate, and this is important, it doesn't matter how public it is. It just matters on whether this is the result of a change in the relationship or not.
What's the public part?
So answer one was that anything done in public is usur.
What part in public?
Meaning anything where I benefit in public is usur, right?
Like a greeting.
So a greeting or the letting live in my house, right? That's like very public. But Tosfos in his first answer, so last week said lending like eggs or lending a pot or a pan is private because no one knows what I'm borrowing, right? Like a house is public. Everything short of that.
Every foot is well taken, though. It's a very fuzzy.
It is fuzzy, for sure. Being, you know, where do you draw the line, right? Tosfos assumes that a chamor is private because no one asks who someone's donkey is.
Well,
but what if it, you know, what the modern equivalent of a car, right? You know, I drive my, this Sienna that my in-laws give me. If, you know, tomorrow, the modern equivalent of a car, so tomorrow I'm driving, you know, a Porsche, right? Someone will be asking where I go, how that happened, right?
It didn't come from someone you lent money to.
Yeah, fush does. I mean, that there is a whole bunch of other questions.
Point is well taken. It's like we talk about tchirus of a kli before Shabbos. Or a kli before Shabbos. And we say that if the non-Jew is going to leave my rishus holding the kli, then I have a problem because it looks like he's my shaliach.
Correct. Right? And Tosfos
so people do see what's going on.
Right. And Tosfos seems to have a very high bar because he says specifically sus v'chamor is not true.
Right.
Have to be some type of commercial aspect. So yes,
no, it doesn't have to be commercial.
If I said, "Oh, can you lend me $5? I can't take any more today."
Well, we will come back to that when we get to Ribbis Dvarim. I don't actually want to get into Ribbis Dvarim yet. The short answer is, according to many poskim, yes, in fact, that's true. I can't say thank you. I can't say good morning. I can't say anything. Right? According to other poskim, no, that's called being polite, and being polite is not usur. I tend to think that they're obviously correct. Not just because common sense, but also because I tend to think based on what, this is something we'll get to, but what Makdim Shalom probably means in the Gemara is not what people think it means, right? Makdim Shalom was a very formal thing in the ancient world. As we know from the Gemara, right? The Gemara says that you're Makdim Shalom to your Rebbe in a very certain way. The way you greeted someone was actually giving them status. But in Roman society, and this is probably what the Gemara is referring to because it's, you know, the same society, if you lent somebody money, you were then required to go to his house and greet him every morning. Like it was a sign of, like if someone was your serf, right, part of being a serf, part of showing that you owed somebody something that was greeting them every morning in a certain way. So if you start doing that for the person you let, you know, you borrowed money from, that's a formal thing. I think, you know, as Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, saying good morning is miderech hanimus, right? It's just polite, right? That's not, but we'll come back to that. But those are the first two answers in Tosas. Tosas in Gittin raises this as well, in Tosas Bava Kama, so number 9. Tosas says, v'nir lefarish, v'nir legemara, v'mistama, kevin shayamal ve'lechol b'ne'ir, gam heim ayosim lo tova, v'nozim lo b'matana, omochim lo sados, t'pa amim, shlo hayuknun, lo lo b'shtar, k'on tzadin yisunulach, v'chorlach, v'gam ashtar, z'ilo ayakosiv, to go back to why I put this Tosfos. The nearer the Gemara, the Mistama came in Shahaya Malvel Cholbena Ir Gam Heim Hayu Osim Lo Tova Menosim Lo Matana Omochrim Lo Sados Tivamim Shloah Yu Knuyim Lo. Okay, I'm going to skip that because I don't remember why I put that one. Took it. There's a problem when you prepare. We can have that. Tosfos in 10 says V'yesh Lomer the Kol Heichal the Kodem Halvaya Oavim Zeh Zeh Shahu Mashilim Chatzer Zeh Lo Zeh. Tosos here, like the second answer in art, in Tosos in Bava Metzia, says as well that it's not about public or private, it's about what you would have done before and what you wouldn't have done before. And therefore, if they're Oavim Zezeh and they used to lend each other property, so then it's fine. Right? Umasniz and Dezu Neshech, and the Mishnah that we have is only Bistam Bene Adam Shein Regila Shei Osa Lova Lamalva Osa Anab Lohova Dumi Dakta Hosham. Again, this Tosfos' answer follows the answer that we saw in our Tosfos in number 2, which is that it's not about public-private, it's about what you would have done before or not. Diagos Ashri in 11 says, Im lo yarag yal kodem alva lahaktim lo lekach kol davar shlo yarag alaso tchila v'achshav oseyu osur afilu davar shezenene v'ze'in chaser v'imayaragil afilu zenene v'ze chaser mutter. Right? Diagos Ashri pushes this farther and notes that this is not just true with something which is not monetarily quantifiable. It's true even if it is quantifiable. Meaning, even if something is zenena vizechaser, meaning it actually costs you money, right? Like we were used to, not only could you borrow my timeshare, but I pay the electric bill, right? It doesn't matter. Right? I could have rented out to somebody else. I pay the electric bill. If that's what we normally do, that's what we normally do. And it doesn't matter how public, doesn't matter if it's monetary. The only thing that matters is, did you do it before or did you not do it before? The Ritva in 12 says, what's the difference? What cases are mutter, what are usher? It says, V'yesh lomer d'shani chatzer d'afagav d'lo kaima la'agra. Ein derech b'nei adam l'hashel chatzerim zeh l'zeh b'chinam. B'ashen b'shel eskelem v'chayotzi bo sh'shnei b'nei adam. Noagim lishol l'hashel osis kol midi d'ulav halva zu lo'ay makvidim halovim amalva reze mutu l'chadchila. Chen katsu b'tosos. Right, the Ritva, now here, even though he says he's saying the same thing as Tosos, I'm not sure he is. Right? He says he's saying the same thing as Tosos, except he, unlike, right, the Tosos in Bava Kama, which makes it explicit, that what's mutter is the type of thing these people would have done for each other, right? The Ritva says it's only the type of thing that people would do for each other. So I'm not totally sure that the Ritva is actually saying the same thing as Tosfos, right? Right? It's derech b'nei adam, right? So now, which answer is he talking about in Tosfos? I don't know, right? Because answer 2 in Tosfos had said it depends on what they would have done. Answer 1 in Tosfos says it depends on what people would do. Because of farhesia, right? Because things that are done too publicly, you assume. It could be that Ritva is another type of Maris Ayin type thing, right? Like first answer in Tosfos, but a qualification. That anything that isn't normal, even if it's normal among us, it's usher. I'm not totally sure, but that opens another possibility that anything that isn't normal for people to do, right? Even not us, but people to do, looks bad. And here he doesn't have the qualifier for farhesia, so I'm not sure what to do with that. So that might be a third possibility. I don't know. The Rush in 13 says, "Imkena malva tarkli zara harbe shlo yikabel shum tova anam and alova pil dvarim shu ozer b'la alva v'afil davar shein alova chaser klum." Right? Is it really true the malva has to make sure not to benefit from the lova in any way? V'yishlomar dlo kaser hacha el dvarim shel farhesia kigon lader v'chater l'shamish ba'avdu davshin milza. Again, he says the only problem is something that's public. Aval ashilo kelev v'behemto mutter kein b'lav hachi have a mashilo. But if it's in private, it's mutter, but then he has that qualifier at the end, because he would have done it anyways, right? So again, what is he saying, right? Is he saying that the public makes it usher by itself, or is that public things you don't normally do, and therefore...
I think it's a former.
Right?
I'll go with a former.
Yeah, but, right, he throws that in the end. So, okay. But basically, the two main positions that emerge with these little tweaks are, is it that the only thing you can't do is something you wouldn't have done before? Public, private, doesn't matter. The main qualification is that we learn from this sugya is I, as a creditor, cannot benefit in a way I wouldn't have before. Or two, is it I can't even do things I would have done before if it looks like ribbis because no one else benefits in this way. Right? Meaning, is the problem here a quasi-actual ribbis, or is it a problem of mechtika ribbis? That's really, right, the question, right? Is the problem perception, or is the problem actual benefit, monetarily quantifiable or not?
Isn't it both, according to some of these?
Things? Or both, right? Or is it some mix of it, right? That it's only if I have both factors, then it's, well,
no.
No, not both,
either
but...
Either or.
Right, either or, right? Or either or, right? Meaning either or, right?
Both problems.
Right. Yes. I mean, that's, yes. Okay. So that's, that's basically the two main, two and a half, let's say, main directions that you have in poskim. So then, halacha l'maisa, so how does this play out? So so one of the things that's quoted basically everywhere, including the Shach, which makes it very important, is this Yom Shel Shlomo. Is the Yom Shel Shlomo 14, says, "Mikol makom Torah hi v'chavadaiti kipshita im eni odia lakol shemikodem ayakar l'sefer Torah." So the following case, let's say you're the Gabbai, and you lend money to somebody in Shul. No, sorry, he lends you money, right? So one of the Balabatim in Shul lends money to the Gabbai. So now what's the problem? Right. So here's the problem that the poskim faced. An aliyah is really public, but it's the Gabbai's job to give you an aliyah, right? So on a given week, if everybody knows that I lent money to the Gabbai and then he gives me an aliyah, so if you think that anything public is usur, even if I would have done it before, so I can't call him up, even if it's it's a yard site and a bar mitzvah and an ofrof all in the same week, right? He has everything going on. Doesn't matter, right? He has every reason to get an aliyah. I can't call him up because everyone sees, right? It's bifarhetzia, right?
Yours on the
right, but it doesn't matter. I'd have to get the other Gabbai to call him up.
The shul is, everybody
okay, it. Right? But if you really take Tosa seriously, that anything that's in public just looks wrong, right? And it doesn't matter whether I would have done it before, then it's usur. Right? If you think that, no, it depends on whether I would have done it before, and if I would have done it before, then even farhesia it's mutter, so then yeah, I can't necessarily give him, I may not be able to choose on a day when, no one has a chiyuv, and I look into the crowd and I say, hey, I'm going to give him, because then I couldn't do, but if he has a chiyuv, so I can call him up. So this is the question that Yom Shel Shlomo had, right? So he says, so now the Yom Shel Shlomo adds another caveat as well. He says, Tosfos had talked about whether or not the benefits in public. He said, there's another problem. If you think the issue at hand is mechzi kiribis, so let's think about it. Practically, there's two things that's important. One is that people have to know whether or not I benefit, whether or not I lent money, and whether or not he's benefiting now. The second thing that's necessary is that they know whether or not I would have done this for him before. Right? If it's all about mechzi, right? They need to not just know that he's benefiting now. They need to know whether or not I would have done it before. So he says, okay, if everybody knows that I'm the Gabbai, and everybody knows that the minhag of the shul is that he gets an aliyah when it's a yard site, so then the Yom Shel Shlomo assumes that according to everybody it should be mutter, because just like being bifarhesia creates problems, the fact that I always called him up when he had a yard site because that's my job as Gabbai seems to, right, obviate the problem created by the benefit for bifarhesia. So he says, if everybody knows I call him up for an aliyah on this day, so it doesn't matter that it's public. Right? Oh, he called him a chabdom mitzvos. Could go and try mechutano or lamdan muflag, right? If he was my relative, he was the Talmud Chacham, he's the rabbi, right? The rabbi lends me money, right? So what are you going to say now? Everyone's going to think, oh, he's calling up the rabbi for, the tochacha, I guess, this week, right? Whatever, we could lend him money, but
three different parsha.
Yeah, well, that's this week. I called him up for the Aser Sedibros, right, on Shavuos, because he's, right, because he lent me money. No, I called him up for the Aser Sedibros, he's the rabbi, right, not the rabbi that buy it, right? If someone gave Rabbi Karabkin, who's a Kohen, right, the Aser Sedibros, you'd know that something's off. But you know, fine. So he said, Oshar Shaychas Aser, so he said, if it's a case where only you know that you would have done it for him before, but no one else knows, since it's like the case of renting at the house, or letting him live in the house, or the slave, it is aser. Im lo sheyodeh lakol, yadua lakol, shelo machmas halva avid, kegon sheyaraga lahashalom itchila, etc. So the Yam Shel Shlomo paskins, like the first Deya in Tosvos, that farhesya is an intrinsic problem. Now he adds a caveat that Tosvos didn't have, which is everybody knows that I benefit him this way before, so that counteracts the mechzi, which makes sense. If it's mechzi, you can counteract mechzi by everybody knowing that I'm not benefiting because he lent me money, but because he has a yartzeit. But since he paskens like Tosfos, that it's a fundamental problem to benefit, he says that you can't give an aliyah to somebody who lent you money, barring a case where it's a case that it's understood that he deserves an aliyah. You have to, let one of the other gabbayim do it. And that's brought lahalacha in the shach. Right, so that's one argument where we lahalacha the poskim do accept Tosfos's position that something that's in public is aser, even if I would have done it before. Lahoris Nassan, Rav Nassan Gishtetner, had the following question: what about a car? Right, this is the big modern question. Right, a car is something big.
To eat it with oaf,
there is Maris Ayin
on the
Drabbana,
because here we're talking about
the worst case
scenario,
Drabbana. Right, you're talking about, but the Drabbana, right, it's not a Maris Ayin, it's a Takana, which is instituted as a Maris Ayin, right? It's Mechzi Karibis.
No, but I'm saying the original Easter of Onas Dvarim is itself Drabbana, is it not?
Of Ribis, well, Ribis Dvarim is Machlokas. So Ribis, so it's Machlokas. So that, well, so the Rivash thinks it is. Rivash thinks that Ribis Dvarim is Doraisa.
Let's
what? No, I actually looked it up. Many more Rishonim. Tosfos thinks it.
Yeah.
Tosfos and Ksubas Daf Ches thinks it. Sorry, in Kedushin Daf Ches, Rav Chanan points it on the Kovet Shurim, right? And the Rivash. So it's not Pasha. The Chayadim thinks it's Pasha, that we pass into the Rabbanan, but because there's no Ktsitsa,
right?
I mean, what is? But the Rivash thinks it's Doraisa. But in Achanami, it's a Derabbanan. But in Ribis, one of the things you find is you find a million Derabbanans, right? Mechzik Ribis is like, it's Mechzik.
Why is it different than this general universal issue about whether or not there's Mechze and Marzai on a Derabbanan?
No, because, well...
Like in Batar Ofa Kolon,
No, because it... Right, so I assume this is more of a case. So because I assume that Mechzik Ribis isn't just a Ribis Derabbanan. I take it back. Isn't just a Maris Ayin. It's a Ribis Derabanan generated by Maris Ayin, right? It's a Takana, right? That anything that
like
looks
like Xeris,
yeah, I mean, it's
extending the original Ether.
Meaning the original Xeris is only Ktitzas, Mammon, or Peros, right? If greeting isn't monetary quantifiable, so even if I was Kotzeis, right, it shouldn't be Doraisa, right? So it's already like probably, right? If it's not monetary, I mean, maybe it is monetary quantifiable. We'll leave. Rabbeinu Yonason is so bothered by the notion that you can have things which are not monetary. He says Ribis Dvarim must have monetary value because otherwise it's so far removed from Ribis, it's Aser. But if you don't think that it's monetary quantifiable, so then you think that in Hanami we have expanded Ribis both in multiple levels. One is by including things which aren't monetary, and two, by including things that aren't without Ktsitsa, right? But we are because it's one of those things where we're so upset by the notion of ribis that we add multiple layers. I think that's really the answer. It is unique in that sense that the mechzis are integrated already. They're not just stam maris ayin. They're a takana derabanan called mechzik to ribis, I think. But when we finish the masechta, maybe I'll have a better notion of whether that's true or not. Okay. So the Lahoris Nassan, his question was okay, a car, right? A car, that's a very common, very common, but it's a case that would come up that we saw. Tosfos thinks that a chamor is private, right? But the modern equivalent you think is a car. But a car is much more public than a chamor, right? So what do you say? So this was the question he had. So so here he says as follows. Okay. Okay, so the Rush, as we'd seen, unlike the Hagos HaShri, you know, I'll summarize it here, right? The Hagos HaShri had said that if I do something year before, so I'm allowed to continue doing it, even if it's Zed Nenev Zeh Chaser, right? I'm allowed to continue paying the utility bills on the timeshare. The Rush had said that's not true, right? The Rush says that even if I used to do it for you before, while we're in a, you know, creditor-lender relationship, borrower relationship, I can't give you something that actually costs me money, right? That's already ribbis. Even if I would have done it before, it doesn't matter. I can't do that. So he says, okay. So point one, what happens if I borrow your car? I would do it before. Fine. But we're such close friends that I don't even care how much gas you spend. Take the car and you don't have to fill up the tank, right? So he says, well, according to Hagos HaShri, so I'm even allowed to borrow your car if I would have done it before and not fill up the gas. But according to the Rush, that the second we enter into a borrower-lender relationship, even if I would have done something for you before that cost me money, I can't do it because that already is ribis. So then I might be able to lend you the car, but I wouldn't be allowed to waive the payments on, right? Waive the filling up the tank, right?
But it's separate from the car. I mean, I can't wash your car as a favor or do this or clean it, but...
Correct, but he's saying, but even if I normally would give you gas, I mean, what he's essentially saying is even though I used to give you gas as a gift, right? I would let you borrow my car and I wouldn't make you fill up the gas. If I do that now, that's zen enev ezech chaser. Now, while the Hagos HaShri thought that that's okay, the Rush said, even if I used to do it before... It's usher to do something. This is at least as medayik in the right in the Rush, is it would be usher to do something that costs me money, even if I would have done it before, right? So therefore, he says, according to the Rush, right, the gas is a problem. I have to pay the gas. According to that, goes Ashri, maybe not, right? That's point one. Fine. So that was the question of the Rush. And the Rush had then backed down and says, maybe that's not true. Maybe it's only things that are bifarhesia, right? Now, if that's the case, so, you know, but even bifarhesia, he said, so then he's not, right, totally clear. But he thinks that Lamaskana, the Rush, didn't reject that, right? That Lamaskana, the Rush, what?
Sounds like the Russian has both factors.
Right, meaning, right, he assumes that the Rush, even though in the answer he doesn't say it clearly, he assumes that the Rush never rejects that. And the Rush, therefore, says, the Lacha, even if it's something I would have done, you know, if it's Farhesia, or it costs me actual money, it is Aser. But that goes, Ashri said not that way, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskin that way, right? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and Goz Ashri said that the only factor is what I've done it before or not. And if I would have done it before, even if it costs me actual money, it is mutter. And therefore, I'm allowed to lend you my car if I would have done it before. And I'm allowed to let you take the gas without filling up the tank again. But according to the Rush, that two things are also. Anything that's public or anything that costs me money, even if it's not public, and even if I wouldn't done it, would have done it before. So according to that, I have to make him pay the gas. Okay, so that's in terms of the gas, right? The gas, now that's private, remember, that's private. The Farhesia thing is not here because, right, no one knows whether you're filling up the tank or not, right? So that's private. So it's not a Farhesia issue. That's a question of whether we allow you to benefit your creditor in any way you would have done before, even if it cost you money or only if it doesn't cost you money. That's point one. What? No, you are. If you don't make the creditor fill up the gas, he made the money of the, right? He drove 50 miles and spent, you know, and used whatever gas. You're not making him fill it up.
I'm letting you the car, not the gas.
Yeah, but I'm not making you fill up the gas. I'm giving you the gas.
Well, what if I just want to lend you my car?
So that's what he says. Is according to the Rush, I could lend you my car potentially, right? If I used to do it anyways, potentially, but I can't, but we'll come to the car in a minute. Right, he starts with the gas, right? He said the gas is clearly private, so the Farhesia issue isn't here yet. Right? But he said, assuming we can, I can lend you my car, right? He said the Hagodah Shri would say that since I did it before you before, I let you keep, you know, I gave you a gift of gas, so I can let you do that now. The Rush would say no. Anytime I lent you money, the one thing I'm not allowed to do, even if I would have done it before, is give you money. Right? I can't give you money. That's ribbis, right? It at least looks too bad that I just can't do. Fine. What about the car itself? Right? That's great. What about the gas? The car. So he says, the car, yesh ladun. He said, because, as we saw, many of the Rishonim say, it's usur if you do something bifarhesia. Well, Tosfos had said that animals are not farhesia. So is a car like an animal, and therefore it's not farhesia? Or is it like an eved, and or a rental that, right, and is farhesia? Right? So, right? Yeah.
Lending, you know, borrowing the car, I assume it's just to make errands for that day or something.
Or whatever,
like that.
Whatever.
It's not to drive cross country.
I mean, whatever you would normally do. I don't know.
I mean, there.
So he says what I think is reasonable. I mean, I think this is intuitive. He says in the end of Gimel, says b'chonisho kol achad mehen yesh mispar v'tzura miyucheda yesh lo medam milevet. He said, look, maybe the reason Tosfos thought that a camel is not farhesia is because who's looking so carefully at the camel, right? At the donkey, at the horse, whatever,
it's
right? Chamor. And they don't, I mean, I can't tell the difference between one or the other,
yeah,
right?
But that's because you don't have
them. Oh, in a chanami, but he said still.
If you're in the business where this is your vehicle, and every couple of years you trade up, and when you buy one, you look at what it's like.
Right.
I suspect you can.
So still, he says, and I think he's probably right, that cars, people, is farhesia. I mean, I just don't know. It really is. It's also, maybe it's because the donkey is, you know, is out in the pasture or whatever. Like your car, if, you know, you normally have your, you know, whatever car, and the next day you're parking someone else's car in your driveway, right? Someone's going to ask a question, like it is. He said, you have a license plate, you have a tsura, like, you know, no one's mistaking your Sienna for the Porsche you have tomorrow. Like, you know, I understand. I'm not lending money to someone like that. That's not the point. That's not the point. You know, I just, you know, fine, a Camry, okay? Doesn't matter. Still, it's different than my Sienna, okay? Fine. Like, these are things that you notice. Yeah, that's what he says in Gimel. And Dalit, though, he says, maybe not. Maybe a car is like an animal. It's like, I'm not really sure. So therefore, maybe if you're Mekel and you would have done it before, you know, it's not so usher.
I mean, don't you need to, couldn't Tosfos' point be, Tosfos' one example of Farhesia is Dar B'chasera. So couldn't Tosfos' point be, you know, and all this to be clear that he borrowed this car from someone. That's to be clear, you borrowed this car from that other person. When you live in someone's hut there, everyone knows.
Yeah, that's true of a car also, right? If anyone, you know, I mean, we can come up with cases, right? So maybe you don't memorize everybody's license plate, I hope, right? But if you borrow a car from Rabbi Black, right, the license plate is NCSY,
okay.
Right? Like, you know, like, you know.
It depends on the situation, or if you're in a small town.
Right, in a chanami, you're a small town. But
if you're in a big town, where if I borrow
right, a
car,
big town, but even not big town, I mean, what if you're, you know, you park, you know, like, I share a driveway with my landlord, right? Meaning
the other issue is defining parhesia. In other words, is it your shchuna? If my three neighbors who live on my chut there know, then that's already public.
But even if they see that you borrowed someone's car, right. I mean, if they don't know whose car it is, maybe that's already not Farhesia.
Well, except that they wouldn't know it was Ribbis. I know they wouldn't know that guy I lent to.
Right. Now, the last point on that is
right,
what. So the last point, though, is that point is then, hey, or Gestetner points out that all of this, the whole assumption of Tosfos is that everybody knows about the loan, right? And that's why it looks like Farhesia. But Gestetner said, but wait a second, what if the reality changes that not the Hana isn't farhesia or is farhesia, but no one knows about loans. So he says, well, then the halacha should change.
Right, and Bizmanam, right? Everybody knew.
Exactly, right? He said, I mean, the whole assumption here, right, is that people knew about the loans, so you had to wonder about whether people knew about the benefit. But he said, if everybody knows about the benefit, but nobody knows about the loan, then it's equally not a problem of mechtik ribis. And therefore, lahalacha, he says, b'zman hazeh, most people don't know about the loan, so then it shouldn't be a problem. So, to summarize what you have, right, you have some Rishonim who think that it's a problem, bifarhesya, even if you would have done it before, always, right, because of mechti. Now, that seemingly can be solved by two things. One is what Rav Geshetner says, which if nobody knows about the loan, because if it's all about mechzi, so even if everybody knows about the benefit, if nobody knows about the loan, so then you solve mechzi. Point two is what the Amshar Shlomo said, is that mechzi can be solved if not only is the hana'an known and the loan known, but everybody knows that I used to benefit this guy in that way, like the gabai giving an aliyah on the yard site. Right? So if you think it's farhesya, so that means any time when everybody knows about the loan and nobody knows about our pre-existing relationship, right, then I can't benefit in public. But bizman hazeh, that's usually solved because either people don't know about the loan, right, which solves any problem if you think it's farhesya, right, or people know about the pre-existing relationship and the benefits that were accrued because of that relationship, in which case it will also be mutter. So that's one. Point two, though, is you still have to take into account the machlokas, the rush, and agos hashri, is when we permit you to do things that you would have done, well, you know, I'll take that in a minute. The second point is that Tosfos says what's clearly usher is anything I wouldn't have done before, right? And that is maintain the maskana. The case which I think is still open is what he notes about the guests, is that what if it's something in private, which I would have done, but it actually costs me money, right? It's not just borrowing, but it costs me money. So he notes that's the machlok is the rush and the agos hashri. The agos hashri thinks that if I normally lend you my car and don't make you pay for my gas tank, so I don't make you fill the gas tank, that's mutter even if I lent you money. The rush thinks that no, even if I did it before, even if it's private, if it costs me actual money, I lose money, so then it's usur. So there if Gishtetner thinks that you should be machmir like the rush against the agos hashri, and if you lend somebody your car, or even if you always lend him your car, you don't make him fill up the gas tank. If you lend him money, you should make him fill up the gas tank because that is already monetary and that already is too close to ribis, even though he would have done it before. But again, he knows Shulchan Aruch Harav is explicitly makel like the Hagos Ashri, so there's room to be makel on that question as well.
What if there's no kind of relationship, but the whole thing is that if lending him my car?
So then it's fine.
What's wrong with that?
That's fine. No, whatever the standard is. If I normally return the gas, I have to. If I don't, I don't. Right? If there's no creditor relationship, then it's whatever we agree on, right? You know, most people, you know, you fill up the gas, right? That's the nice thing, you know.
No, wait. What are you talking about?
What?
He's like a case where he lends you the car, and he lends you the car with half a tank in it, and you're going to return the car with a full tank.
Yeah.
Sounds like ribbons.
Yeah. Why would that not be ribbons? I don't care what people's normal practice is.
So, well, so filling up what you use, I think.
Not what you use. I'm talking about adding. You're topping off the tank when it wasn't full when you borrowed it. That's straight ribbis.
No, it's not.
Why not?
Well, it's straight minutes. Ribbis. It's not money.
Cause
it's not money. It's not. I lent you my car. What do you mean?
It's a halva.
Who cares?
It's not halva. It's shayla.
Oh, wait.
It's a shayla.
It's
not a shayla of a car. I can't give you a gift back, shayla.
So,
it's like schiros. You want to say that's the schiros, right?
Unless you're going to say that that's separate from that is the gas. He didn't lend it to me on empty.
Right. So I don't know. Right. That's a question that I think we'd have to come back. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's an interest. Right. Because if I lend you my car, because it's not halva. Right. Car is not halva. A car is a she'ela. Right. And a she'ela, I'm allowed to give you a gift afterwards. Right. I'm allowed to give you a gift for a she'ela.
Right.
It's not ribbis. Right. You're right. Is the gas sub the stuff?
You
lend
your lawnmower, and I give you back the lawnmower with a thank you. Stop.
We're treating the same.
Right. So that's the question: is do you look at the, in order to answer it? What I think you would have to say is that lending gas is sub the sa, right? Is that I expect you to fill up the gas, right? Basically, this is the case where I think it would be ribbon. Is if I say, look, I'm giving it to you with half a tank, return it to me with half a tank, right?
The gas changes.
Right. That's probably sub the sa, right? So then I can't even return it with half a tank,
right?
And I for sure can't fill it up with a whole tank.
Well,
because
you
wouldn't
want to make the arrangement in the first place.
Correct. And if I do it, I definitely can't give back a full tank, right? Right, that's what I'd probably have to say. But if I did that, if I say put $5 of gas in it, right? So then it's ribis if I give him $10 because it's ribis, right?
Correct.
So the only thing I think you, so there, you're right. I think if you lend somebody a car, we just have to not verbalize anything and rely on people's normally, normal, morality, which is to fill up the tank when you, when you used it up. If you frame it as a halva'a of gas, I think it's a problem of sa'bisa, unless you say it's a davar mu'at, but it's really not a davar mu'at, right? It's so expensive. Like, meaning, in a chanami, the change in gas, right? If I borrowed half a tank, so even if it goes from, 113.9 to 115.9, rahman al-Islam, right? right? So then, we could...
88 cents if you took 44 liters.
Right. So fine. I'm saying, so maybe it's a davar mu'at. Maybe that would be the sa'bisa. But you're right. I think if you frame the gas as a loan of gas... Right, you get into sa'bisa problems, and then if you filled up the whole tank, you get into ribis problems. I think that's true, right? And honestly, it would be ribis ketsutza. If I lent you half a tank of gas, and I said, I'm lending you the car on condition that you give me back a full tank, that's ribis ketsutza already, right? I think the only way of getting around that one would be if I say, really, I would charge you for depreciation of the car, but instead of depreciation of the car, we'll call it, call it even, or some ridiculous deal like that. But that would be, I think under most circumstances, as long as you don't say, you don't cast the gas itself as a loan, I think you're fine, right? If you're borrowing the car, it's a she'ela, and once it's she'ela, there's no problem with ribis, right? If I specifically talk about the gas, so then I'm talking halva sa'bisa, and then it's a nightmare, right? I think that's what it would be, I'd say. Yeah? I think
yeah.
So. Okay, fine. I mentioned before that the Shach quotes l'halacha, the position of the Yamshel Shlomo, that anything with Farhesia is Aser, the Aliyah, v'chadome. If you want, Rav Moshe in 17 has a... has a discussion about this as well, but I think I've just outlined the basic possibilities, so let's move on... let's move on to the next part of it. In 18, this is really more ribis dvarim, but I'm just going to just glance at Shulchan Aruch just to see the type of things that are included in this, just to fill out the picture, but we'll come back to it. And do ribis dvarim is, right, Asr l'lamed is hamalva os beno mikro. Ugmara kolzman shema osav biyado im loya ragil bazem mikodem, right? I can't teach your son Torah for free while you're borrowing money from me, even if that was what I normally did, right? I'm your teacher, I'm someone's teacher, and they're malamed in the house. Still, I can't do that. Sifur Aleph, imay ragel lahakdim lo shalom, imloy ragel lahakdim lo shalom, and Yud Beis is the right lo yomar lo hodenim ba'ish ploni makom ploni v'chadome. So really, 19. 20 and 21 really play up on the Ribis Dvarim thing, so I'm going to leave that till we actually get to Ribis Dvarim, but now we've seen sort of just the background of how this sugya interacts with that one. Okay, now let's come back to the second part of our sugya, right? The first part of the sugya is the general question of how can I benefit? The second question is, okay, our actual sugya of the case of lending the field, right? Sorry, lending money and living in the field, so... How do we paskin? Is it Ribis Ketsutza? Is it Ribis Darabanan? Right? What's the halacha? So we look at 22. The Rif says, Hilchas Elishna Kama, Dafilu Hilvehu, Vidar Bechatsero, Tzarach Lahalos Lo Schar. We paskin, not Halveni, but even Hilvahu. Right? That even if I happen to lend you money and I happen to live in your apartment, in your field, in your courtyard, whatever, I have to pay. Aval lahotzimenu b'dayonin behalveni v'dar b'chaseri mifakinen minei agra da'avilei ribis ketsutza. So the Rif paskins that if I say I'm lending you money on condition that I can live in your apartment, so that's ribis ketsutza and motzin b'dayonin. I can force you to pay me rent, if even post facto. If it's hilvehu, right? I lend you money and then you happen to live in my apartment, so then. If it's eno, right? If it's not la'agra, so then I can't force you to pay. If it's la'agra, I could force you to pay, but that's because of the general rules in Bava Kama of zenene v'zech, right? V'zech chaser, right? Aveu der chaser de'lava daiti da'chiyus ve'avak ribis uvena yotze b'dayonin de'havila k'ribis mukdemes u'ribis mukheres, and therefore that is how the Rif understands the sugya. The Ramban comments in 23. So because of Rabbeinu HaGadol Zal, the Rif had written, he says he's right, right? If I actually say I'm lending you money on condition I can live in your field, so it's Rivik Tutsa. Aval yodea dilav ki ahi de bigemara kamra dafka bechatzer de kaimel agra hu de mifakin en mine. Aval ilo kaimel agra potter dilav mide chasre. The Ramban says, in what case is it ribis de oraisa for you to live in my apartment? So the Ramban says it must be only if it was a rentable apartment, because then the fact that I lived in your apartment is quantifiable, and that's ribis ktsutsa. However, in the Rif, if you're careful, the Rif never said that. Right? The Rif didn't say that in order for it to be ribis ktsutsa, it needs to be an apartment which I would normally rent. He says anytime it's halveni, it is ribis ktsutsa. So, and as we'll see, that several people will say that explicitly. Now, what's the svara for the Ramban? Right? The Ramban seems to think that in order for something to be ribis ktsutsa, you need two things. You need ktsitsa, and you need that what is katsuts is money. Right? That's what you need.
Not to.
Right? Well, no. Peros is also, meaning it needs to be
favor.
It has to be monetarily quantifiable. Okay. Right? Quantifiable. Right.
Couldn't this just be a breakup of Neshef and Tekbit?
Well, right, according to him, he does.
We know how much it's worth.
If it's not Avid Lagra, it's not worth money at all.
He's not losing anything. It doesn't mean it doesn't have value.
No, it doesn't have value. It's not worth money. It's worth something. There's no quantifiable value because it's not Avid Lagra. But that's what Ramban's assumption. Okay.
I don't know.
Hold that for five seconds. The Ramban assumes it needs to be something with an objective, like universal monetary value. Otherwise, it's not a unique tzitza, and you need to be money. The Rif doesn't sound that way. Now, why would you say that that's not true? Right? The Rif sounds like in order for it to be d'oraisa, all you need is tzitza. You don't need it to be avid lagra. Right? You don't need that it's monetary. Right, it's objectively monetarily worth something. It just needs to be ktsitsa. Now, why would you say that? So you have two possibilities. Either you think that ktsitsa is a problem without whether or not it's money, right? Meaning, if I stipulate that I'm getting back more than just the money I lent you, it doesn't matter whether I'm getting something which is worth money or not. If I was kotseitz, I was kotseitz, and it's d'oraisa. The other possibility is what Adam said, is, wait a second, right? It may not be that I normally rent out this apartment, but realistically, it still has some sort of value, right? So maybe all I need is ktsitsa plus some sort of value. Or there's another tweak on that, which is maybe it doesn't have objective monetary value, but it has subjective monetary value, right? So if you look at 24, and 24, 25, and 26, that's what you get. The Me'iri argues the Ramban. He says, "Amar lo halveni v'dor b'chatzeri harizeh ribis ktsutsa v'yotu v'dayanin." V'shem atomar imkein matina ribis below neshech. Maybe you'll tell me it's ribis without neshech because he assumes, not like the Ramban, that we're talking about even a field which is lo avid la'agra, right? So it's ribis below neshech because I'm not losing anything, right? He's just gaining. He says, "No, omar ani." Right? So he says, no. Once I say it's part of the deal, I've revealed the fact that I view this as worth something monetarily. So even if objectively it's not avid lagra, I've just made it avid lagra. And therefore, there's no such thing. Anytime I stipulate as part of the loan that I'm kotseitz, mimela, it becomes monetarily worthwhile.
Isn't it clear that it's not a quantifiable amount, right, the Me'iri? It's just a question of whether I care to lose money or whether it's going to be a chisar for me or not. There's no quantifiable
amount. No. But he says it's... No, that's exactly what he says. It's not true. Right? He says it's called a loss. Right,
it's not a loss. It's not your. I mean, if I understood, maybe misunderstood before, saying according to the Ramban, you need to have a clear.
According to the Ramban, Yechonami. According to the Ramban,
if he's arguing for the Ramban,
he's arguing the Ramban. He's arguing the Ramban. The Ramban says, right, again, The Ramban understands the Rif as saying the only time it's Ribbis Daraisa is if it was already Avid Lamegar because there's a set number on it, right?
But I'm saying maybe that wasn't the point. Maybe it was the point. The question was whether there's a Chisaron or not a Chisaron.
Yeah, but
the question of do I know how much the Chisaron is or not.
Okay, but the Ramban says it has to be Avid Lamegar, which means it's not just that there's some loss, it means that there's, right?
But the whole point of Avid Lamegar, I mean...
No, because the Ramban says it has to be something which is objective.
Chaim al-Agra,
sorry. Like, Chaim al-Agra, I mean.
Chaim al-Agra is, well, who says that? Maybe that's just the flip between is the person losing anything or not. That's usually how we define Chaim.
I don't know, but it sounds like, I mean, maybe it's that you're losing something. You're also losing something, right? It's not like amorphous, right? You're losing whatever the normal rent is.
Definition.
I mean, it's karka, so
it's not chaim al-agra.
No, but it is chaim al-agra. The Ramban says it has to be chaim al-agra.
Okay, but my point is that's the difference. Is it a chas? Is it chisaron to this person or not? Is there neshech here or not?
In a chanami, fine. I mean, by exact value, it's not an exact value because it's karka. Whatever, you know, whatever the rent is, I could, you know, there's no limit of what I could actually charge the rent. The point is that, right? I can't necessarily put a specific number, but it's a rentable property, and I'm losing the rent. That's the point, right? So Ramban says that it's only daraisa in such a case. The Rif seems to say not that way. Now, why would that be true? So Meiri says, we didn't give up on this notion that you need neshech utarbit, right? That you need an actual monetary loss. It's just that even though this is not normally rented out, if we stipulate it as part of the loan, we are subjectively defining it as a rentable property, and therefore there is objective neshech utarbit. That's the Meiri. The Levush says it differently in 25. He says, "A few lokaim lagra v'ribis k'tu taviyot v'dayanim. Daho v'omer lo v'schar al v'asecha hari achshav shavye kaim lagra." No, sorry, he says the same thing as Meiri, right? Shavye kaim lagra v'skiru lo achshav. Avagam shavye olam lo yadarka lo skiru achshav hiskiru. He says, no, that's the point, is I've just made it a rentable property, right? The Aravram is a different formulation. He says it's not that it's Avid Lamegar. He said even a property which is not Avid Lamegar, I can still kick you out. Right? Tosfos makes it clear that when we say Zenen Vezeh Lo Chaser, that I can't force you to pay after you've already lived in my non-rentable property, that just means I can't force you to pay. But I can kick you out. The fact that I can kick you out means that I still have rights over it. Right, which means that it may not be like a rentable property, but I have what he calls tovas hana'a, right? That's classic tovas hana'a. I have the right to let you live here or not. I may not be able to charge you for it post facto, but I have the right to let you live here. So it's tovas hana'a have mamon. It's a, right, whatever tovas hana'a is, right? It's a much harder to quantify monetary thing. So here, tovas hana'a is not a loss, right? Tovas hana'a is, right, he says it's Ribis Ketuta. I'm not sure whether he's saying that it's Neshech without Tarbik, but it sort of sounds like he is, right? Because he says it's Tovas Hana. Tovas Hana is not really a loss to me, unless you say I took away your Tovas Hana. I'm not really sure, right? But he's much more approaching the possibility that you could have Ribis Ketuta without a real Neshech, right? I'm not really sure, but the Levush and the Meiri both say, no, what we've done is subjectively define this as having rentable value, and therefore I'm stealing your rent.
What's his case?
What?
What's the Avram's case?
It's the same case. This is his comment on this. Right? He says the reason that it's Ribis Ketuta is because even though I wouldn't have charged you for it, I could have kicked you out, and therefore my right to let you live here or not is Tovas Hana.
That's not something right? Transferred to the...
So that's the problem.
If I have Tovas Hana over something, do I have a mamon relationship?
Right, so that's what I'm not sure, right? Is what do you mean Tovas Hana have a mamon, right? Tovas Hana, on the one hand, it means that I have some sort of monetary. So the problem is that Tovas Hana have a mamon in the Rishonim, and the Yad Avram doesn't go into it here. So I really have to look at how the Yad Avram understands Tovas Hana in general, right? The line Tovas Hana have a mamon in the Rishonim can mean one of two things. Either that Tovas Hana have a mamon means that the right to rent out my property is worth $2,000 a month. The right to let you live in my non-rentable property is worth $300 a month, right? It's not as much as actually renting, but it has a number on it. That's one understanding in Rishonim. The other understanding in Rishonim is no. Tovas Hana have a mamon means that I have a right over, I have a sort of an amorphous right over the entire property, but you can't put a number on it. Right? Like I have a quasi, I have some sort of right in the whole thing, but you can't put a number on it. It's not like $300 to, you know, I can quantify my right to kick you out is worth $300. It's no. It's this property is mine, so I have generic rights over it, and that's called mammon. But it's very amorphous. If he takes the first view, then there's neshech, because I'm taking your 300. If he takes the other view, that tovas hanah means I have generic property rights over something, so maybe you're somehow creating a ribus ksutza without a real neshech? I'm not sure. Again, I'd have to look. I should have thought of this before, but I'd have to trace Yad Avram in Tovas HaNa'a in other sugya, because it doesn't explain it here. But I think that's what it would hang on. Honestly, I would rather say the first way, because otherwise, as the Gemara said, on Daraisa level, there can't be neshech without Tarbiyat. So, you know, despite the fact the Achronim like saying that they found cases the Gemara didn't find, right? I'm not so comfortable saying such things. So, but anyway, the Yad Avram takes this different model. Both of them, though, argue, therefore, with the Ramban's understanding that you can't have ribus ksuta unless it's a place which is rentable, right? They say it's not true, either because of Tovas HaNa'a or because subjectively we've made it worthwhile. Now, the Ramban seems to say the same as that understanding of the Rif as well in 27, right? He says, Amal v'chavero, as Avdei Kedusha Yasav Malacha, etc. I'm gonna have to leave the Rambam, because the Rambam has a lot more in it. But the Rambam does and the Rambam at this point seems to take up the position of the riff. Where's the line? I have to end the Right. Mashma that if he did tell him before, right, it would be Ruth Dal Raisa. Right? So the Beis Yosef notes in 28 that Mashma Haim Hisna Ima Ribis Ktucha Havya. Right, that if I made a condition, let us Rambam. But Tema Mei Rav Amagid should cause a birosh berak the Einu El Avak Ribis. Kevin Sheinu Chayv Laal Soschar Menad Din. Right, so the Beis Yosef notes the Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam the way the Ramban understands the Rif. Right, but as he says, Divrei HaRif Kipasha Muchik Ka Rambam. Right, the Beis Yosef notes the simplest understanding of the Rambam is the way we interpreted the Rif before, that Tzitza, even without monetary value, is still ribis d'oraisa. So la halacha, that is how the Beis Yosef understands the Rambam. The Ramban doesn't. So that is okay. We're gonna have to stop there with the ribis ksitza. What we'll see next week is the ribis d'rabbanan aspect of it. There's many aspects to the ribis d'rabbanan, but that's just the ribis d'oraisa. And we're also going to come back to something we already saw the first week, which is the question of hamshachat zman. Right, what happens if I wasn't kotzeitz at the time when I originally lent the money, but I'm kotzeitz at the hemshech of the loan, right? You come back to me and say, I'm not ready to pay yet, and I say, well, that's fine, but I'm going to live in your property now, right? Is that ribis d'oraisa? Well, you know, let me just make that point now, because we have 30 seconds. I can make it. We already made it in Halacha Gimel. The Rambam had said that Horu Rabosi Shamavas Chaver Lachar Zman Tava Chovu Amar Lo Halove Dor Bechatzeri Achech Lo Chovcha Hareza Avak Ribis Levi Shelo Katzat B'Shas Halva Shem Lo Titzin Lo Neshech. The Rambam has this unique position that in order for something to ribis ksutza, I have to stipulate it at the beginning of the loan, not in the middle of the loan. And therefore, even if I come to you and say, I lent you money, I'm not ready to pay, right? And you say, well, that's fine, but I'm living in your property now until you pay me. The Rambam says that's still only the Rabbanan because it wasn't the original moment of the loan. Because Hamshachat, right, Hamshacha, right, Haracha for the Rambam is only the Rabbanan.
It's not a new loan.
Correct. The Ravid says it's not true, right? The Ravid, as we already saw, says Chayiroshi, Lo Yafahora, Shemigiz Manapiron, Va'arvach Lazimne, Mishum Ahu Dira, Kishas Matan Mosdam, Yavikidosh Yachiru. That if I'm allowing you now to hold the money for extra time for living in my property, this is like a new loan that I'm now paying you money for. So, right? So he says it is ribbis, but that was just, Machlokas already saw it. Next week we'll come back to the Darabans. Okay. Shkoyach.